A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 213. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion of the Doctor Who comics. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
Doctor Who has had a tremendous run in the comic book medium from 1964 up to the present, basically without a break. And it is just as complex as the run on the television series, if not even more so. And it is, in fact, the longest running comic book based on a television series. And we can only touch on some of the highlights and generally what was going on with it rather than all of the details. But we have lots of interesting things to say, and we'll continue in with that right away.
Yes, that's right. And we are trying to cover this vast history. And in doing so, we are thankful for a few helpful sources. Wikipedia has a page all about Doctor Who comics and with links to all the stories for each of the Doctors, which is very helpful. We mentioned in our last episode alteredvistas.co.uk, which is the place to go to on the internet for a very detailed history of Doctor Who comics. It's been an absolute invaluable resource while I've been compiling our show notes. So it's quite brilliant stuff. I believe it's Stuart Palmer who's responsible for that website, and I doff my hat to you, sir. Well done. And then there's another almost essential resource for Doctor Who comics, Brian.
Yes, there was a brilliant series of featurettes from the Doctor Who DVDs called Doctor Who Stripped for Action, which they did 9 of these about each of the first 8 Doctors and about the Daleks as well. And they usually run about 20 minutes, sort of from 15, 16 minutes up to a good 25 minutes or so. They were released between 2008 and 2009. They're all available on YouTube. They're originally from the DVDs. And there is some very good information there with lots of interviews with people with some expertise in British comics and Doctor Who comics, and also with a lot of the creators, both illustrators and writers and also editors. So some interesting stuff there for sure.
It's a fabulous series, as you say. Comics historians, comics creators, wonderful tales from 50 years of Doctor Who comics. It's essential viewing, really, Brian.
Yes, it really is very good.
There's also, I haven't read it, but there is a book called Doctor Who, The Comics Companion by Paul Scoones. It covers just the first 15 years of Doctor Who comics from 64 to 79. I haven't read it myself. If any of our listeners have and would recommend it, please do get in touch and let us know on the Facebook page or contact us and tell us about it.
Yes, absolutely. That is the era before Doctor Who Weekly / Doctor Who Monthly / Doctor Who Magazine, I'll just call them DWM, they took over in 79 with the Doctor Who comics. So that book would be covering the eras of TV comic and the Countdown TV Action magazine, and also the TV Century 21 series with the Daleks from the 60s. So interesting stuff there, I'm sure. There is also, of course, lots of good information from the Doctor Who Wikia. That's tardis.wikia.com. They have always lots of good Doctor Who related stuff, and they do with the comics as well. So last time we covered up through the run of the classic series on television. So Doctor Who's run that ended when it was taken off in 1989. And between 1989 and 2005, the only new television Doctor Who of any real scale, you know, more than a short charity special and those sorts of things. The only thing was the TV movie in 1996. So that run from 89 to 2005 is considered the wilderness years when we had very little Doctor Who on television. So DWM continued its run of Seventh Doctor comics after Doctor Who went off the air in 89, and it for a while was the only source of new Doctor Who stories. That changed fairly early on when the New Adventures novel started to be published by Virgin Publishing. And they ran for a number of years in the 90s. And the Doctor Who comics in DWM were being overseen by Gary Russell, who would go on to executive produce the Doctor Who audios for Big Finish, but he was working with Doctor Who magazine before that. And what we had with the Seventh Doctor was something where for a while they were trying to track with New Adventures continuity, which meant they had a darker, more manipulative vision of the Seventh Doctor. And they had some fairly successful things dealing with New Adventures, where when Ace left the Doctor in the New Adventures the first time, she came back later, when she left and then Bernice Summerfield joined as the Doctor's companion, that was reflected after that novel was published. The next issue of DWM that was published didn't have Ace in it, and Bernice Summerfield was there. So things like that worked quite well. Some things that were less successful were when there were two stories that were quite similar, both dealing with the Silurians and sort of alternate history types of things, one in the DWM comics and one in the New Adventures, and they came out at the same time. So that was not very well coordinated. But they did have some interesting things where the two were coordinated for a while there.
Okay. And as you say, Gary Russell, interesting character from Doctor Who history. And not only was he sort of editing and producing the Seventh Doctor stories, but in 1993 in DWM, he took an interesting decision to actually go back and have stories about the past Doctors. And they covered all the Seven Doctors up until that point. And if you look at Altered Vistas, you can find references to stories about the first and second Doctors and so on in Doctor Who magazine. I note that one of the first Doctor stories, I think, was even written by Nick Briggs from Big Finish. And I know that Gary Russell particularly wanted to cover plenty of Fifth Doctor stories. So there's quite a few of those because he'd been not so well represented previously in comics.
That's right. And they also went out of their way to cover some companions from television who had not been that well represented in the comic books. Most of the DWM strips for the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Doctors did not use the companions from television, although Perry did show up for a while and K-9 was there. But they made sure to have characters like Leela and so on, various companions who had had little, if anything. They made sure to see that they were represented in that run that was going back to past Doctors, which was quite nice. The issue with that was a little bit problematic was that the result was the comic run from the time feels a little bit all over the place. It would jump from one Doctor to another with no particular rhyme or reason, and it made it a little bit sort of confused and all over the place.
But some interesting stuff, and I suppose interesting to have those classic Doctors appearing again. Of course, after that, Gary Russell left Doctor Who magazine, and the stories, I suppose, in a way, got back into the wilderness years by returning to the Seventh Doctor, and the dramatic turn for the Seventh Doctor and his companion, I think, Brian.
Yes, they stuck with quite a dark style for the Seventh Doctor, but they went to very much their own continuity, not the continuity of the novels or anything else. And they had quite a bold and intense ending. And they actually, very differently from the New Adventures or for any of the other series, they ended up killing off the Doctor's companion, Ace, who was a companion introduced on TV and then sort of went in different directions depending which medium you follow. And it was a very sort of intense and dramatic ending for the Seventh Doctor in the comic books.
Yes, as you say, dramatic stuff. And then, of course, after the Seventh, we get the Eighth.
Well, yes, of course, the reason they were ending the run of the Seventh Doctor was because they knew the TV movie featuring the Eighth Doctor and the regeneration from the Seventh to the Eighth was coming out. And after the TV movie with Paul McGann as the Eighth Doctor broadcast in 1996, DWM picked up Doctor Who comics with the Eighth Doctor. Many of them were written and then edited by Alan Barnes, who is now a script editor with Big Finish and writes for Big Finish, doing audios there. And in that case, the comic books at this point really went their own way and didn't try to keep continuity with the novels, with the BBC Eighth Doctor adventure novels that were going on or anything like that. They had their own vision of the Eighth Doctor and sort of got to create their own Eighth Doctor era based on just that very brief take on them that we had in the TV movie. And that allowed them to introduce some new things, including a companion called Izzy. And she later, in the course of the comics, became the first openly gay companion for the Doctor in any medium for Doctor Who.
Yes, another interesting first for the comic books, doing things before television perhaps could. Interesting stuff, as you say. They really, with the Eighth Doctor, they expanded on his whole era because he only had less than 2 hours of screen time, so they were able to do so much more in the comic books. And it's some brilliant stuff. Beautiful art by Martin Geraghty and Roger Langridge in this period. It's a lot of it we've just had a chance to look at more recently because it's become available again. But it's great stuff. And they did also, as well as creating their own new companions and new characters, they did actually manage to return to some old companions with the Eighth Doctor in some quite touching moments, I think, Brian.
That's right. They had the return of John and Gillian, those original companions from the First Doctor run and the bit of the Second Doctor run as well. They did a 40th anniversary special for the Doctor Who comics and did something with the Eighth Doctor and John and Gillian in quite a nice, touching little story. And they worked it in so it was okay with continuity as well and everything. And that was something that was quite neat that they were able to do.
Yes, fun stuff for the Eighth Doctor. And I think the Daphne Ashbrook character from the movie also made an appearance in the comics as well.
Yes, that was the character of Grace Holloway. The TV movie has complications with licensing because it's actually owned by Universal, so Doctor Who licensees need to get additional licensing to cover things that were introduced in that movie. They can cover the Eighth Doctor, but they can't cover other characters, the obvious one being Daphne Ashbrook's Grace Holloway. And the comics, I believe, are the only medium where they were actually able to arrange some licensing and had some comics with Grace Holloway. I believe she never actually occurred. She never showed up in the novels, and I know she hasn't been in the audios. So it was neat that they were able to have her in the comic books.
Yes, good stuff. And in fact, as we've said, lots of great stuff with the Eighth Doctor, including as well an appearance yet again by Nick Briggs as the Nick Briggs Doctor, which you'll have to read the strips to find out more about. But it is quite amusing to see him actually finally play the Doctor.
Yes, that was based on his audiovisuals doctor, some unofficial fan-made audios that featured him from many years ago. They were doing those in the 80s and into the early 90s, I believe. But yeah, interesting to see a take on the Nick Briggs doctor, who has just showed up briefly in different places. And they had a sort of take on that, which was kind of interesting in there, too. We won't get into too much detail on that, but it was a neat little aside they did. There was also a shorter comic strip that appeared in the Radio Times magazine with the Eighth Doctor, which was interesting because it was bringing the Doctor Who comics to a much wider audience than they could in Doctor Who magazine. And it also meant that they were, for the first time in many years, going to a much smaller comic book with a small number of panels and not enough room for very much text. And it would just sort of be squeezed in, and they could do something serialized in there, which was happening alongside the DWM comics. So that's a neat little thing that was going on as well.
Okay, so I guess that will take us out of the wilderness and up to 2005, when, as we all know, Doctor Who returned to our screens and became an enormous success again for the BBC. And as I suppose would be fitting, we got more Doctor Who comics. We got The Adventures of the Ninth Doctor in DWM. Only 5 stories at that time featuring the Ninth Doctor, but there's a rather interesting snippet that Russell T. Davies actually suggested to the editors of DWM that they might be able to show the regeneration from the Eighth Doctor to the Ninth Doctor in the comic book. Now, again, licensing rears its ugly head, and that never actually happened for licensing issues. But that's an interesting idea, Brian, that it could have actually taken place in the comics.
Yes, it was something that the people running DWM really wanted to do at that time when they were given that offer. But there were just a number of reasons that complicated that they couldn't show the Eighth Doctor after the Ninth Doctor appeared on television. They couldn't show the Ninth Doctor before he appeared on television. And there were a number of complications there. So in the end, it was just not workable. So we didn't see that. In 2007, IDW got the license to produce American style, and in fact American releases, monthly comics of Doctor Who that would have limited availability in the UK because of the licensing issue. Doctor Who magazine at that point was owned by Panini. It had gone from Marvel to Panini in 1995, and the DWM comic books continued to run with the current Doctor, and IDW was also running comic books with the current Doctor. So we had 2 different series running at once. And in fact, we had 3 different series running at once, because Doctor Who Adventures, which was a children's-oriented Doctor Who magazine, had its own Doctor Who comic strip that was more geared at children.
Yes, as we've said, all of a sudden there was an explosion of Doctor Who comics, and there were at least 3 different varieties you could get at any one time, all appearing simultaneously. But IDW, as we say, had a very successful period with the 10th and 11th Doctors. They produced some very famous stories, most notably, I guess, a story called The Forgotten by writer Tony Lee and artist Pia Guerra, who this was an interesting story because it took the 10th Doctor to a museum, which seems to be dedicated to his past history, and there's various problems with his memory. And of course, it allows for, well, little sort of mini adventures for all the previous Doctors up to that point. And it's quite an interesting and charming story, Brian.
Yes, it allowed this collection that linked things together, but allowed us to have new stories with all of the Doctors, which was very nice. Later, IDW produced a 50th anniversary series called Prisoners of Time, which was by the Tipton brothers, and it featured all 11 Doctors with a story for each one and some linking elements that ended in a 12th story that involved all of the Doctors. And more than The Forgotten did, it was allowed to really have an involved adventure with each one of the Doctors, and was able to reflect on those and mostly their companions from the TV series. So that was quite neat to have things brought in with all of the past elements that way. It was really done very well.
Yes, it's another charming and almost essential Doctor Who comic story, Prisoners of Time, highly recommended.
IDW ended its run with a Paul Cornell written story called The Girl Who Loved Doctor Who, which was another 50th anniversary piece, and it was this interesting take on Doctor Who fandom. It was almost a little love letter to Doctor Who fandom by Paul Cornell. And it is quite a neat little piece as well. So it was definitely an interesting thing to include in there.
Yeah, some great stories from the IDW era. We'll mention also the crossover they did between Doctor Who and Star Trek, of all things, when they produced a story that crossed the 11th Doctor with Amy and Rory meeting the crew of Star Trek The Next Generation, but also a sort of look back to a classic encounter, or an imagined classic encounter, between the 4th Doctor and classic Star Trek. And of course, the villains for this crossover would have to be the Cybermen and the Borg, with the similarities for those two robotic races. So some interesting and good stuff there from IDW.
Yes, a strange idea with the crossover there, but actually relatively successful. I should note, with the IDW releases in general, when it was announced, there was some concern in fandom that an American company, which IDW is, would not be able to make a sufficiently British-seeming Doctor Who comic, that it would have some of the issues of the TV movie where, you know, American production sort of changed the tone of things in a way that didn't work that well. Well, I think most everyone agreed, once the IDW comics came out, that that was not an issue. While they were produced by an American company, the tone worked very well and very much kept a Doctor Who style and a British style. And part of that was helped by the British writers they had involved, with people like Tony Lee and Paul Cornell. And it actually worked very well and gave us a lot of very high quality stuff, as we've mentioned.
Okay. Also coming out at about the same time, BBC Books themselves produced two graphic novels by Mike Collins and Justin Richards, The Only Good Dalek in 2010 and The Dalek Project in 2012. Again, you know, interesting stuff. I think playing to a slightly younger demographic of readers, but obviously very popular presence for Dalek-obsessed children, and more interesting comics.
Yes, and we have Justin Richards writing, and he again is a Big Finish writer and sometimes script editor, and he's done things with the novels. I believe he is, or recently was, overseeing the BBC Doctor Who novels. So having him involved there was really nice as well. He's He's a writer I definitely like, so it was great to see him in there.
Okay, but this IDW and, as we said, BBC Books era didn't last, and we've got something new instead.
That's right. IDW ended its run in the 50th anniversary year in 2013. They lost that license, and in January 2014, it was announced that Titan Books was taking it over and had a license for The New Doctors. And I think it's a slightly narrower license that doesn't cover reprints of older DWM strips like the IDW one. But it certainly covers the new series Doctors, and they announced a separate 10th and 11th Doctor series that would run simultaneously, an issue for each every time. And once the 12th Doctor was broadcast, they added a 12th Doctor series. So those are three ongoing series, one with each of those Doctors, that are running concurrently as we speak. And then they additionally added a 9th Doctor 5-issue miniseries that is running as well.
Yes, good to get some more 9th Doctor stories out there. And it's interesting that Titan Books have got this license. The listeners may correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they're most well known for actually for their reprint material of other comic strips in the past. And here, as you say, Brian, they've got this fairly narrow license, which is for no reprint material, but all new stories and ongoing comics from them. So it's new and exciting stuff.
Yes, it is. And I love the fact that they have those three different Doctors, or even more than three Doctors, all running at once. And like Big Finish does with the classic Doctors on audio, they are keeping all of those eras alive at once and doing new things for all of them. And that's something I really like to see, which is a nice change from only doing the current Doctor as we've had for most of the run up until 2014, or even for the run in the 90s when we had all different Doctors, but we were skipping from one to another to another. This idea of keeping them all going at once is very nice, I think.
And as well as keeping them all going, the Titan Books will also be combining them together.
Yes, there is a Four Doctors miniseries that, as we record, has not been released yet. It's starting summer 2015, and it will feature the 10th, 11th, and 12th Doctors along with the War Doctor. So it will be the debut of the War Doctor for the comic books, I believe. And it will feature all four of those Doctors in one series that, again, is written by Paul Cornell. So it's like nice to have him back into the Doctor Who comics, and looks like quite a neat event.
Yes, that's right. Titan Books are making a big deal of this event. They are announcing their special Doctor Who Comics Day, which will happen in August 2015, and will tie in with the launch of this Paul Cornell Four Doctors series. The other regular Doctor series go on hiatus for a couple of months while this event takes place. And we know that they're also putting in a lot of associated merchandise. There'll be T-shirts and all sorts of paraphernalia to go with it. So it's quite a big event for Doctor Who Comics happening later this year as we record, and one that we're sort of looking forward to with some interest.
Yes, absolutely. And I love this idea that they are putting a break in between seasons, if you like, for the various Doctors, and in between doing this event. I think that's quite nice.
Okay. Sadly, of course, the IDW losing the license means that the stuff that they did is starting to become harder to get hold of, and certainly all the digital stuff has disappeared from Comixology and other apps like that. But we, as we'll mention in a moment, you can still find some of the hard copies in the various stores. But of course, it marks an exciting new era for Doctor Who comics as Titan surges ahead.
Yes, and fan reaction to what Titan is doing seems to be very positive, and doing some interesting things with several different Doctors of the Doctors who have been introduced since 2005.
All very good stuff.
Absolutely. Now, we should talk about the availability of some of these releases. Panini has been doing some reissuing of some of their classic series type things, Doctors 4 to 7. It may be that they're just re-releasing some old stock, or it may be that they're some of them are actually reprints. It's not, I believe there are some Seventh Doctor reprints. It's not entirely clear to me where they're going with that, but it does look like classic series DWM Doctor Who comics are now back with Panini as far as publication rights goes. So we're hoping to see more of those show up, and some of them are already out there in the UK, which is very nice.
Yes, as you say, it is slightly complicated to work out what happened with the reprint licenses, but certainly now in the UK, the Panini stuff appears to be available again, so you can get hold of some of the classic 4 to 7 and 8th Doctor stories in black and white reprints, and very good they look as well.
Yes, that's right. The two BBC books that we mentioned, of course, the two Dalek graphic novels, of course, BBC Books still has the rights for those, so those are still available and in print.
As I've mentioned, the IDW stuff, well, it's no longer available digitally, but you can still find hard copies of stories like The Forgotten, Prisoners of Time, and the Star Trek Doctor Who crossover out there. They're still on Amazon, so while they last, get them while you can, I think, is the answer there.
Yes, for sure.
Meanwhile, for the Titan stuff, the situation obviously is much easier.
Yes, the Titan comics are available issue by issue in comic stores. They are available in digital form on Comixology. And the Volume 1 collections for the 10th, 11th, and 12th Doctor have been announced. I believe you can pre-order those now. And the collection for the 9th Doctor miniseries has also been announced with a pre-order. So those are certainly available.
And of course, the Four Doctors miniseries will be with us very shortly, which looks very exciting.
Yes, absolutely. I haven't seen it, but I would think there would be a collection for that with a pre-order as well. Panini are now also collecting some of the new Doctor Who comic strips that were published in DWM, different from the IDW ones. So it's nice to see that Panini, the publisher of DWM, is now a little bit freer to release various reprints of some of their past material.
Yes, good to have this stuff appearing in various forms. And so there we have it, Doctor Who comics, a vast history and quite an array of stuff that's available to get hold of. So how to sum it up, Brian?
Yes, sharing some of our own opinions and some of our listeners' opinions is something that's a little bit tricky and that we want to do, of course. I will start by saying that there is a lot of wonderful stuff out there in the Doctor Who comics, and I've certainly haven't read everything, but I've read quite a few of them. And there are some great stories that I think would only work in comic book medium because people expect things to be a little bit more out there or zany in comic books. And some things that couldn't have been introduced in the TV series, possibly in audios, possibly not, were introduced in the comic books. And some things that visually were too big or too expensive to do for TV Doctor Who could be done in comic books, and it's wonderful to see some of those kinds of things showing up there over the years.
Absolutely fabulous, yes. From the sort of Fourth Doctor stories from DWM and its sort of rebirth, or its birth rather, in 79, look out for the Mills, Wagner and Gibbons stories, The Iron Legion and The Star Beast. Those are very good. And as I say, now available again in various reprint editions.
Yes, I personally love the run of stories with Sharon Davies as the companion, which started with The Star Star Beast and goes on for several stories. If you act quickly enough to get one of the IDW omnibus collections, it's in the first omnibus, or I think it would be the first volume of the smaller collections from IDW. They have wonderful color versions of those early DWM comics. And that run with Pat Mills writing with Sharon Davies is quite wonderful. So I would certainly recommend that.
And then we've got The Fifth Doctor, and particularly a story called The Tides of Time, I think, Brian, which we'd probably recommend.
Yes, The Tides of Time is very good. It's quite bizarre and very big and involves things drifting from one part of time to another, and this demon Melanicus taking over parts of how time works, and all sorts of strange things. But yes, it's definitely very good. It started out the Fifth Doctor run and has some neat stuff in there for sure.
Okay. We've also mentioned a very famous Sixth Doctor story with lovely John Ridgway art, which is called Voyager. That one is available over here in the UK in a Panini reprint, which is nice to see.
Yes, that's very good. Some of the printings of Voyager also include The Shapeshifter, which was just before Voyager. And it's nice to have those collected together because The Shapeshifter introduces Frobisher, the Doctor's shape-shifting companion, who is usually in the form of a penguin. So it's neat to see that introduction there and to see them. The run of Sixth Doctor comic book stories is really quite good, so it's neat to see those. They are in the second omnibus volume from IDW, or one of the smaller IDW collections as well.
Yes, you need to check out some Frobisher, really, just to get a little taste of what this character was like in the comic books.
A really fun comic book character, you know.
What else would we recommend from the classic era? I know that the Eighth Doctor stuff is very well regarded, particularly the Endgame volume that's recently come out again, but also taking him up to his sort of final stories, the Cyberman story, The Flood, is extremely well known, I think, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And The Flood was a story that sort of took the Cybermen and took some of the more interesting story elements for them and stylistic things from the classic series, but rebuilt the look of the Cybermen to be something that I think you could only see in comic book or animation, or something that was very high budget on TV, because they made a very dynamic, different looking version of the Cybermen. So that is something that is also a very interesting part of Doctor Who comic book history.
Yes, interesting look to the Cybermen in The Flood, as you say, and it would work very well in an animation project should that ever happen. But yeah, good stuff. Of the more recent, the new Doctor Who comic book era, what would you recommend there, Brian?
Well, the one that jumps out for me is Prisoners of Time, because it does a wonderful job with both the classic Doctors and the new Doctors up through the 11th, and ties them together. But I think while The Forgotten was good, I think Prisoners of Time does a better job at having a standalone adventure with each Doctor and doing a sort of lovely tribute to each Doctor as he appeared on television, and also incorporating a little bit of comic book history stuff because they have Frobisher in there too. So that's the one that jumps out to me from the IDW era.
And it is very good indeed. As you say, in The Forgotten, the classic Doctors only get a few pages each, whereas in the Prisoners of Time series, they get a whole issue each. So it is very good stuff. And if you're going to track down any of the IDW stuff, that's the one to go for first, I would guess. Although Paul Cornell's story, The Girl Who Loved Doctor Who, is also a charming look at fandom for the 50th anniversary, which was very nicely done.
Yes, it is. And they did do some good work with 10th and 11th Doctors on IDW as well. But those are sort of highlights for those anniversary and things that look back. They did very nice jobs there.
Okay. And then, of course, if you just want to jump in on Doctor Who comics after listening to us talk about them at length, then I suppose there's no better place than the new Titan comics, where you can get in pretty much on the ground floor, Brian, and start with the first issues, which are out very recently. And it's all available in a variety of formats. If you're interested, the Titan Comics is going with some very interesting stuff.
Yes, I haven't read too much of the Titan stuff myself yet, but it does look like they have some very strong things going there. And the Volume 1 collections are still upcoming, and they will give us sort of the first year or the first volume of each Doctor in a separate volume. So that's sort of neat that we'll be getting that in collected form soon as well.
Okay. And as I said, we did put out the call on our Facebook group for listener suggestions, and we did have a few, which we'll mention briefly. Alan Moore and David Lloyd's Cyberman story came up as one that was very well remembered. Our friend Ilona recommended The Glorious Dead, the Eighth Doctor story, which I believe is included in the Endgame volume. And we've mentioned The Tides of Time, a Fifth Doctor story, which was by Steve Parkhouse and Dave Gibbons. And that has come very well recommended by a number of sources.
Yes, and a very good story, too. Interesting stuff there. And another story that I quite like that has also been recommended by some of our listeners is Voyager from the Sixth Doctor, which again has some big, bold ideas and has Frobisher in there and some neat stuff.
And then we've got a couple of more Eighth Doctor stories. Children of the Revolution was recommended to us. And of course, The Flood, the final Eighth Doctor story, the Cyberman story, the one that almost led to the regeneration into the Ninth Doctor to appear in comic book form.
Yes, absolutely. And Nemesis of the Daleks has also been mentioned, which was a Seventh Doctor story that included Obslum Doc, Dalek Killer, who gets a brief almost reference on TV and Time Heist recently. But yeah, we didn't mention Obslum Doc. He was a strange but interesting part of things in the Seventh Doctor era. He was like this criminal who was basically freed to become an agent to fight the Daleks. And sort of a strange but interesting character. So it's always kind of fun and different and interesting to see him show up there.
Yes, absolutely. A character from the comics. And as you say, he made a blink and you'll miss it appearance in Time Heist and the 12th Doctor story on television. So there we have it. Those were the recommendations from our listeners, and we're very grateful for them chipping in. If you've got any more stories that you think we should track down and look at, then do please let us know.
Absolutely. I will also throw in an extra recommendation for Stripped for Action, which was the series of DVD featurettes that ran on the classic Doctor Who DVDs. It only covers the first through Eighth Doctor and the Daleks. It doesn't cover the new 2005 and on Doctors. But it has a great set of interviews, and they show you pictures of things from the comic books from all along. There's some really lovely stuff there. It's on the DVDs, and they're floating around on YouTube as well. Well worth watching those.
Yes, absolutely essential viewing, even if you've got no interest in Doctor Who comics. And if so, thank you for sticking with us this far. But if you've got no interest in the comics and just interest in the show, you'll find these series of documentaries fascinating. There's some lovely stories and moments from the whole history of Doctor Who. So it's great stuff. Well worth watching.
Okay, very good. So, in summary, Doctor Who first appeared in comic books in 1964, and it has continued to appear regularly ever since, with a series of First and Second Doctor stories that featured mostly these comic book original companions, John and Jillian in the 1960s in TV comic, and then some TV characters started coming in, like Jamie was in the Second Doctor ones, and they continued in TV comic and then went to this Countdown series, which went to slightly more adult styles of comics with the Third Doctor and sort of uppings with the adventures, and it went back to TV comic for some time and continued with Third and Fourth Doctor material doing a variety of things. But it was in 1979 when Doctor Who magazine, Doctor Who Weekly it was at the time, first appeared that the comic books really stepped up and went to some bigger, longer comic books with some full-page panels and illustrations, and did all kinds of interesting things with the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th Doctors while the series was running. It continued into the wilderness years with the 7th and 8th Doctors. It ran at the same time as the short strip that was running in the Radio Times magazine. And then into the new series, we still have had DWM publishing a run of stories with the current Doctor as it was at each time all along. But in addition, we have the Doctor Who Adventures doing more children's-oriented current Doctor stories, and IEW from 2007 to 2013 did current Doctor stuff and some things bringing back earlier Doctors a couple of times as well. And then now we have Titan doing new Doctor Who comics at the same time as DWM is doing theirs, but Titan covering all of the 2005 and on Doctors 9 through 12 and even the War Doctor in there, with lots of things ongoing, covering Doctor Who in a way that it only could be covered in the comic books.
Wow, what a complicated subject, and what a vast history of Doctor Who comics. Fabulous stuff from a fabulous show. And do get in touch with us if we've missed things or you need to correct us on stuff. We could only really touch on the basics, but do let us know what you think about the history of Doctor Who in comics.
Yes, absolutely. It's a wonderful world of things to dip into if you're not familiar with it and you have a chance.
And of course, do come back and join us next time when we are switching back to a TV show. And we're going to our yearly Gerry Anderson show, and this time we're in black and white. It's his Super Marination style show. It is Fireball XL5, an exciting show from the early days of Gerry Anderson.
Yes, absolutely. Black and white Super Marination, which we haven't done before. So that should be interesting to take a look at, for sure. We may even have more than one Gerry Anderson show this year, which you might know a bit more about if you're on the Facebook group.
Very true.
But in the meantime, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com and join us on our Facebook group. If you search for British Invaders on Facebook, we are there. And we have lots of good discussions with our listeners. We've been talking about Doctor Who comics, as I'm sure we'll continue to do, when we're always talking about Doctor Who and various other shows, and we're talking about things that we've covered recently and covering soon and so on. So lots of good discussions there.
Yes, come and find us on Facebook, or come and find us at the Voice of Geeks Network. That's vognetwork.com, the home of internet streaming radio for all your geek-related needs, with several shows on lots of different topics going out there, including British Invaders, where we go out on Mondays and Tuesdays. And as ever, we welcome our Vogue Network listeners, and come and join the party on Facebook.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for listening to this marathon run of ours about Doctor Who comics. And we hope to have you back next time. So this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. And until next time, it's Eamon in England saying, so many comics. If only we had all of time and all of space in which to explore them.